Hi, it's Jackie from the Grown-Ass Woman's Guide. As we work on brand new content coming soon, I wanted to share a few of our most popular episodes that are perfect for summer listening. And we'll be back soon with a whole new season. Happy summer. Okay, so I had a whole plan, and then I woke up this morning and I can barely move my head. And I thought, I was just reading about Lillian and how everything is connected. And so let's start there.
Yeah, that's perfect.
But I just thought it was really interesting because I think many of the women who listen to the show maybe wake up with aches and pains or we feel things. And I love that you see our bodies, our minds, our spirits, everything as this holistic connection. And so can you totally dive in? Just like, let's get basic. Dive in there.
Yeah, let's just jump right into it.
I'm Jackie McDougall, and this is the Grown-Ass Woman's Guide. Menopause is unavoidable, but suffering? Yeah, that's optional. Kindra is redefining menopause with science-backed products, education, and my favorite thing, community. Whether you're wondering if you're at the early stages of perimenopause or you have already been there, done that, Kindra is committed to helping us all be the best versions of ourselves.
When you have simple things that can help you take care of yourself, that make you a better you, because that's really what we're ultimately all after, why not take advantage of those?
Get 20% off site-wide at ourkindra.com with promo code GAW20. That's ourkindra.com, promo code GAW20. Lillian So is author of So Empowered, Discover the 5 Layers of the Body to Take Control of Your Life. I loved having this conversation with Lillian. I learned so much. Her energy is amazing. She's one of those people that you're like, oh, I just met my new best friend. And so I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. Before I jump into it, February is right around the corner. With Valentine's Day coming up, there are hearts and flowers and love everywhere you turn. But for me, I want to focus on the love we have for ourselves, for our friendships, and use February as a time to reconnect with things that we truly love in our lives, and maybe even discover a few new ones. And this episode today is the perfect kickoff to the self-love is the best love theme of February. Oh, and by the way, I put together a little post for you with some products that I think you might like to show your body, mind, spirit, self a little love this February. You know how much I love Kindra. Kindra has a new bath soak that they just introduced. I am so excited. I cannot wait to spend many a night in February soaking in that. Plus, I just got Kokonu's new body oil. Oh, love. If you've listened to past episodes, you know the Kokonu lubricant is the only one I use. They have an oil-based lube and a water-based lube that I think you might like. And I have a few other items that I think you'll enjoy. So I will link to all of those at grownasswoman.guide/episode151. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Lillian is a firm believer in the mind-body connection. And so while a few of us, myself included, maybe you too, might be feeling those aches and pains on occasion, but what if I told you that could be originating with your thoughts and your feelings and not actually in your body?
Yes, we are living in this body and we have to honor it. And this is a real thing. We have to take care of it. It is our vessel. It is our ship. It is our home. It is all of that. And at the same time, everything gets processed in and through and manifests and reflects around it. Mm. So yes, to that, it's like, okay, you think everything's fine. And then you go to bed and like, there's some other stuff happening, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, what's going on, you know, energetically that maybe you haven't been paying attention to, or like what's actually happening in the background of your psyche that you haven't allowed yourself to actually really face because you're too busy right now, or like you just have to get through this big project right now, or like you just have other things that you have to deal with right now that you can't even touch that right now. And
right.
One of the things that I always teach is it's all got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's all got to go somewhere. So even if you can't consciously, deliberately, purposely, maybe deal with something right now, it's still somehow working its way through your psyche, your energetic body, your spirit body in some way, shape, or form. And it's got to go somewhere. And sometimes maybe that thing that you're not addressing, or maybe that thing that's been in the back of your head, or something that's been ruminating or whatever, may somehow appear. It may show up eventually in as a crick in your neck, right? Mm. When you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, my body is saying like, I really, really need you to take care of some of these things right now. Like, I know you're busy. I know you got a deadline. You know, like, I know tax season's coming up. I know all that. But like, actually though, like, you've been ignoring this thing for a lot longer than you even realize. And I'm gonna make you slow down, and we're gonna have to take one for the team right now. Like,
yep,
you're gonna have to lay in bed a little bit longer. You're gonna have to go and get me a fruit salad, because you know you haven't been giving me proper, you know, carbohydrates and sugars in a long time. You know, the body always has a way of talking to you. And in the book, one of the things that I say is it actually shows up in the physical body last.
Interesting.
So to that point, yes, exactly. So I think even for me, I started my career in fitness. So even though I've always been connected to my body, I always thought of it as like, oh, as soon as it shows up on your body, like, that's an indication we have to pay attention. Mm. And what I've learned throughout the nonlinear rabbit hole journey of mine is that actually it shows up in the physical body last. By the time it shows up in your physical body, you messed up a long time ago. You know, there's something else going on, like something that a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 2 years ago. And finally your body's like, okay, seriously, I really need you to stop and pay attention right now.
Yeah.
So those are all the things that I talk about in the book. So that's definitely diving right in.
That's fascinating. And, you know, speaking of taking one for the team, I feel like I took one for my listener, because you know, she's listening right now and she's like, yeah, sometimes I get these pains. And that's interesting, because I was the same. I thought the body, you know, keeps the score and it lets you know when you have to address things. But let me just stop for a second. Your book, So Empowered, Discover the 5 Layers of the Body to Take Control of Your Life. Physical pain, last step. Where did it start? Where were the first messages that we ignored?
Oh my gosh, there's so many, right? So let's actually break it down through the layers of the body. Let's use that framework, right? So in the book, I talk about the 5 layers of the body, which we learn in yoga. So in yoga philosophy, yoga sciences, yoga education, yoga philosophy teaches us that in order for us to truly experience yoga, which is to yoke, which is to be connected, which is to be united, to be connected with universe, God, source, whatever you want to call it, right? To be enlightened, right? That you actually have to be balanced, connected, integrated through all 5 layers of your body. So that's your physical body, and then your energetic body, your emotional, mental body, your spiritual wisdom body, and your bliss body. Mm. So, and I'm going through these really quickly, but by the time it shows up in your physical body, like, yes, of course, sure. Like, you might get a bruise on your knee because you ran into a table. These aren't the things that we're talking about. Okay?
Totally.
So let's talk layer by layer by layer, because there's lots of ways that this can show up. Mm-hmm. So let's say, in your energetic body, you've been ignoring and neglecting the fact that you have been overextending and overgiving to your career or your job or your deadlines, not truly honoring your boundaries. When you should be saying no, you're not. You're still saying yes because you want to people please. So you're disregarding your energetic body. You're disregarding just how much you actually have to give, and you're pouring from an empty cup. Because you've been neglecting your energetic body, eventually you end up with adrenal fear, or you have some kind of, you know, you're laid out in bed and you all of a sudden can't get up, and then you're knocked out with some flu. Your body is less resilient. Your immune system is down. So next thing you know, you're picking up bugs much more easily. You're run down all the time.
Right.
I've had a lot of clients come to me where they say, like, you know, I used to get sick all the time. I would get cold. I was just that person. I was always run down. I was always getting cold. I would get 2-3 colds a year. I haven't had a cold in 2 years since I started working with you. I don't know what I've done differently. And I'll say, well, first of all, you finally started saying no. And you finally started taking care of your energy, right? Like, not that much has changed, but you finally started honoring when you are tired. You finally started honoring when you shouldn't spend time with somebody who's actually taking more than they give back.
Yeah.
It's not mutual and so forth. So that is where maybe not taking care of yourself at the energetic layer will eventually ripple and manifest in the body, right?
Yep.
Let's talk about the emotional mental body. That's the 3rd layer of the body. This is your thoughts and feelings. we're constantly processing thoughts and feelings all day long, right? There's thousands of thoughts running through your head, even when you and I are talking right now, and there's probably thoughts and chatter happening in the background all the time. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you have something that happens, you know, an incident happens in your life, and it's a huge trigger for you. It really puts you into an emotional tiz. It clouds your mind with negative thoughts of like, oh my gosh, like you're replaying conversations in your head and you start worrying about the thing that you said. And it kind of, there's like an elephant in the room, you know, in your life. And then you just kind of can't deal with it. Mm. So you don't really fully sit down to process it out. You don't really talk about it with anybody. You don't write out your feelings in your journal. You don't fully allow yourself to acknowledge, recognize, and process what you felt, what you were thinking over some event that happened. You stuff that in the back of your head, can't deal with it. You go on with your life. You're too busy. You got mouths to feed. You got deadlines to meet. Next thing you know, 2 months go by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, 4 years go by. That grief that you haven't processed, those icky feelings that you experienced at your last job that you never fully allowed yourself to acknowledge, that starts to eat away at you. It's in the back of your mind. All of a sudden, you start to feel aches and pains, right? You maybe you have, it starts to, again, take a hit on your immune system in some way, mm-hmm. shape, or form. It starts to show up as maybe hair loss. It maybe shows up as, you know, breakouts and things like that, because all these, it's like it has to go somewhere. You haven't processed right. it. You haven't released it. And so now it's bubbling up in other ways. And so a lot of times I'll tell my clients, it's like, have you ever processed this? Like, have you ever actually processed what happened at your last job? Have you actually ever processed what happened in your last relationship? And I have a lot of clients that'll be like, no, I've actually never really talked about this. I'm like, yeah, that breakup was 10 years ago. That abuse happened when you were 15. You're 48 right now. Like, that's a lot of years of that stuff sitting, right? That you haven't processed, that you haven't allowed yourself to fully think about, fully feel. You've only kind of, you kind of know it's there, but then you just stuff it down.
Right. So
all of that eventually manifests.
Yeah. And I just want to jump in there because there are so many people who are like, process this and go through. How? I think that's the question for a yes. lot of people. Like, that's great. I haven't processed. It's showing up like this. And then other people are just like telling them what to do and not showing them. So I love that you work with clients and you actually show them how to process these things.
Yes.
But for my listener, how?
Thank you so much for bringing that, because that's actually something that I talk about a lot. Whenever people come into my ecosystem, a lot of times people will say, I was really drawn to you because you mentioned how in a lot of other traditional kind of modalities, right? Whether it's like one-on-one therapy or something more traditional. Now, I'm not knocking any of that. I've done all of that myself. And mm-hmm. I think that there's a time and place for all of that. But oftentimes what's missing is the how, right? So like therapy is really great for helping us understanding what happened. Why did that happen? Why am I this way? Oh, I'm this way because I have childhood trauma. Oh, I'm this way because X, Y, and Z happened in the past. But then now we don't really learn about like how to now continue to process or continue to change the trajectory moving forward.
Right.
So that's a huge thing of what we do. So let's go back to your question, which is how do we actually then process, right? Because you hear this all the time. Like, oh, it sounds like you really need to process that. Okay, thanks. Do you want to help me? Like, do you want to guide me through that? You know, like, how do right. I do that? Right. And then people say, oh, you should just journal about it. Okay, but how? Once again, right?
Because you end up journaling your grocery list. You know?
You're like, what am I supposed to do?
If you don't know how, exactly.
Exactly. And so the simplest place to start is, first of all, there's no right or wrong way to process in general. Mm-hmm. But from there, that isn't that helpful. So let's take it a step further. And okay. from there, the first thing that I would say is you just got to ask questions. You just got to ask questions. You got to ask questions on questions on questions. Okay, great. What kind of questions? Well, you literally first start with a really simple frame of observation. What happened? Two, what did I feel? Three, what did I need in that moment, or what need was not being met in that moment? And then four, what is that I actually need? What am I really learning from this? What am I learning about myself? What can I do to prevent this in the future? What can I do to take ownership of this moving forward? What can I do to take radical responsibility for my life based on what happened, what I felt, what I needed, or what I right. didn't actually end up getting, you know, met in those needs?
Yes. Yes. Those are great questions.
Yeah. And this is really a simple framework that we can use for anything when we're dealing with, you know, communication issues with our partners, or, you know, when we're actually like looking for some kind of resolution, you know. So it's literally what happened, what was the feeling that was initiated or triggered or elicited through this experience? What did I need? What need didn't go met? And now what can I do about that moving forward? Because I think a lot of times something happens and then we're like, well, something happened and I'm really upset about it. Okay, that's great. I'm really upset about it because what I really needed was support. Okay, that's great. But even after that, it's like, well, now what do I do about that? I've acknowledged what I feel. I acknowledge what happened. I've acknowledged what I need. But now we need to take that a step further. Now we need to actually turn that around and we need to change that, right? There needs to be some kind of transformation. There needs to be some kind of change. So at that point, that's when we can actually say, oh, okay, so now that I realize that when this thing happened, I felt this way and I really need support. I felt angry because I didn't feel supported when X, Y, and Z happened, right? I came home, the dishes weren't done again. I felt annoyed. I felt underappreciated. I really need mutual respect and support from my partner, from my roommates, et cetera. And so now with that said, I'm going to make sure that I get crystal clear about what the expectations are in the household. I'm going to make sure that I have another team meeting, another household huddle, right? I'm going to make sure that I put a to-do list, a schedule on the calendar so everybody knows what the expectations are. I'm going to take that control and power back so that I'm not a victim to what happened, so that I don't repeat the same situation again, so that I don't end up in the same situation again, so that I can actually feel like I'm doing something to move that needle. And so those are the things that we can do to like process, right? So like now, not only do we acknowledge what happened, but now we can also figure out what we do after we acknowledge that happened. Now, what do we need beyond that? How do we prevent? How do we change? How do we make progress and so forth? I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely. And so my follow-up question, because that's what we do here.
I love it.
I hear the word support a lot. And I think sometimes we don't stop and really think about what that support looks like.
Yes.
So I see women like, I need support. I need support. I need support. What does that mean? Does that mean you need a cleaning person? Does that mean that you need someone to understand your feelings and to like, what does that look like? So how do you work with your clients in understanding what support they actually need?
I love this question, Jackie, seriously, because you are absolutely right. We say this all the time. It's like, well, I just need care. I just need you to pay attention. I just need support. And they're like,
I just need you to be clear.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, that's great and all, but like also you got to get more specific beyond that. And so oftentimes what I'll say, and clients will say this to me too, hey, like I could really use your support. And I literally respond back and say, okay, tell me exactly. I use the word exactly. It's really that simple.
Yeah.
Tell me exactly what you want me to do. What does it actually look like? And then I'll give some examples because that's where people get stuck, right? They don't even realize that they don't even know what they actually want.
Right. It's kind of like support me in the way I need, but I'm not going to stop and tell you how that actually looks.
Exactly. Support me in the way that but I actually don't even know how to tell you what I actually need because I haven't done my own work. And I always talk about this, like even in relationships, it's like we get mad when our partners just don't know. And it's like, it's not their responsibility. It's actually our responsibility. I think we've somehow along, I don't know, maybe it was Disney movies or something. I don't know. Somewhere along the line, I think we learned that somehow that the true meaning of love and support is like when someone just does it without you asking, or that someone just knows. And it's like, no, that's not fair.
It's not.
Like, it's not. That's like not what we should expect from people. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, like people got lives, you know, people have stuff to do.
That's so right. And we all have our own baggage. And my definition of what support looks like might be totally different from my husband or my best friend or someone else's. So it's really self-absorbed to think that there's another person who like can understand what you need when you don't know what you need.
Yeah, exactly. And so you gotta literally ask either yourself the questions. Okay, so what exactly do I need? Or if you're on the other side of it and someone says, hey, I really need you to give me some support right now. I think a lot of times we just go, yeah, for sure. I got you. And then it kind of ends there. And so we should also take that a step further and go, I'm totally down to help you. Tell me exactly what it is that you need. because I really want to be there for you. And then at that part, it becomes an agreement. Then you can actually set some boundaries too. Because what if I say, hey, Jackie, I really need you to help me. Could you pick up my groceries every Tuesday at 4 o'clock from Whole Foods? Like, that would be really supportive of me. You'd be like, I would love to do that for you, but I have a meeting every Tuesday at 4.
Right.
And, you know, is there another way I can do that? Like, could I maybe help you set up, you know, an Instacart delivery instead?
Right.
Or like, let me show you how to use DoorDash, you know, or something like that. Right. And then that way we can actually, can still truly be supportive of each other without making assumptions or without getting resentful about feeling like we have to do something. You know, we can actually have conversations and set right. boundaries and get really, really crystal clear with each other, which actually only improves, you know, the relationships as well.
Absolutely. That's great. So we've talked about the physical body, the energetic body, the mental, emotional body layers, I should say, right?
Yep.
So what's layers. Next?
So I love that you actually remembered that we didn't even get through all the layers. It's about the spiritual wisdom body. The spiritual wisdom body, to me, it's the part of you that just knows, right?
Yes.
It's the part of you that just knows. It's your intuition. It's your connection to something that you can't really explain or feel or see or touch, right? It's that intangible. It's that feeling. It's that connection to something that you know is guiding you. Okay. This is where we get a little bit more into the woo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get a little more out there. But the thing is, we all have this. We all have a wisdom. We all have a deep wisdom that's guiding us all the time. This has nothing to do with whether or not you're spiritual or not. I don't even know what that means sometimes. Like sometimes to me, when I think of spiritual, I just mean that you believe that you are connected to something. You believe in your, even if it's just yourself, you have a faith, you have a belief that you are always being guided and that you are always cared for.
Right.
And so oftentimes we start to neglect the wisdom spiritual body. We start to neglect our intuition. We start to doubt that there is a plan for us. We start to doubt that there are good things for us. We start to lose faith. We start to lose belief in ourselves. We start to lose faith in other people. We start to lose faith in our life. You know, like I have a mantra that I use, that I used to use a lot, which is I trust my life. Like I trust where life is taking me. I trust my path. Sometimes I don't even know what that means, but I just trust it, right? And that is your wisdom spiritual body. When your wisdom spiritual body is healthy and balanced, you have that. You have that sense of like, I know I'm guided. The universe has my back. I know where I'm going, even if it isn't all clear. Even if the path is not completely clear, because whose path actually is
right
ever clear? That's the whole thing. Like nobody knows exactly where they're going all the time. And that is the whole point of the wisdom spiritual body. The wisdom spiritual body, when that is healthy, it's like you have that good sense of like, you know, even when you're going through a good time or even when you're going through a hard time or a bad time, you still know that like, it's all part of your perfect plan. It's all part of your path. It's all part of your journey. It's all part of your story. You accept it. Even if it hurts, you still show up for yourself. And you trust in your story and your path and so forth.
Yeah, I love that because I think we often get so caught up, especially looking at people online and like, oh, they know exactly where they're going. And, you know, if you see someone, like imagine right now, the most successful person doing what you'd like to do. Do you think that that's exactly where they saw themselves? Like maybe there's one in a million who are like, this is my vision. This is where I am. But I love the ability to know, sure, we have goals, but the ability to go, there's something bigger than myself.
Right.
And so don't be such a control freak, Jackie. Oh, wait, I was talking to myself, but don't be such a control freak and try to work every single angle, every single minute, because there's something greater than you. Like how free, it's kind of freeing.
It's so freeing. It's actually so freeing when you realize, hey, what about if I told you like you actually can't control anything? And that, you know, obviously that freaks a lot of us out, right? But truly,
we've never been controlling anything.
Right.
Just think we have.
We just think, exactly. Exactly. And so let's bring it back to like how it shows up in the physical body. When we are not fully like surrendering to our wisdom spiritual body, when we don't let it do its thing, we grasp, we grip, we want to control, we ruminate, we worry about things that we can't control. Mm-hmm. We try to block and manipulate and all that. That actually, I don't know how to describe it, but like that's that deteriorates us. Mm. That kills our spirit. And so then over time, that starts to make us feel even more lost. It's almost like the more we try to control, the more we actually will end up feeling lost, empty, stuck, all of that.
Right.
We don't realize that that's the ripple effect of that. So as we constantly try to grip and control, then more things don't go our way. And then we start to feel more down about that. Then we start to feel like nothing goes my way. Then that breaks us down. That breaks our spirit. And then that makes us feel down. That makes us not want to get up. That makes us not want to take care of ourselves. That's what makes us go, well, what's the point anyways? Mm-hmm. And then you stop taking care of yourself. And then again, it starts to fall apart. Then your health starts to decline. And then next thing you know, you have the aches and pains and you have migraines for no reason. You're always run down all the time. You're constantly feeling fatigued. And that is the ripple effect of you actually not being spiritually healthy.
Mm.
So to speak.
You know, and I could talk about spirituality for, you know, the next 2 hours, so I won't do that to you. But, you know, I think it's really important to separate the spirituality from the religion.
Yes,
right? Because we have, and sometimes religion is faith-based. Sometimes religion is cultural. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes religion, people follow religion for a variety of, of reasons. But we're not talking about this organized. We're talking about spirituality within. Like, I love the way you put it, feeling connected to something. Could be yourself, but it could be something. It could be trees.
Yeah,
it could be the ground. It could be nature. It could be the beach, the ocean. It could be
totally
God. It could be anything. And I love that feeling. We feel front and center, right? We are the star of our own lives. And sometimes that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And so the ability to step back and go, I'm this big in comparison to everything around me, and I'm connected to all of that, is a great way to sort of reboot, I think, the system.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I always say zoom out, but I like reboot too, because it's kind of like, well, hold up. Cause it's almost like, hold on, wait a minute, like reboot. Like, what is actually really going on here? You know, like we're getting caught up in the weeds here, and that's not what this is about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
I think 100% religion is a way for us to connect, right? With spirit, with a sense that we are guided, with a sense that we are connected. But, you know, people do it with yoga, baking, gardening, right? While they're in flow, while they're writing, you know, telling a story, performing. So yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And the more I feel that we get connected and then we support however they need it, others to get connected, then the communication and the flow between us is so much better. I mean, I'm sure you're at least at some points, like with women in this live space, and the energy that goes back and forth. I love live events so much, and I can't wait to get back to them. But the energy between women who are connecting to something bigger than themselves, there's nothing better.
And that, you are talking about the bliss body, the fifth layer.
Yeah. See how I got you there?
Yeah. I love it. Right. We're great. We're already a dynamic duo. Exactly. Yep. Right. I love that. That, of course, would naturally take us there. Right. The bliss body. The bliss body is the fifth layer of the body. And to me, the way that I like to describe it is like, that is your heart center. That is like, that is the most pure place within that just wants to just be love and be joy and be present and be here now. And when you are truly connected to your bliss center, your bliss body, you just feel that, what you're talking about. It's like, oh my God, this is heaven. This is literally like, this is like nirvana. There's nothing better than this. This feeling, the sensation, this experience. Oh my God, I feel so connected. Are we in heaven right now? You know, like that is bliss body. And what you're describing, when you're connected with women on the same page and you're vibing, all that, that's the bliss center activating.
Mm.
And so many of us don't know what that feels like. We forget that. We stop playing. We stop being vulnerable. We stop just letting ourselves just be silly and open and connected with a room full of strangers, laughing, moving, sweating, whatever that is, right? Like you described, like a live event. For me, it's a workout or a retreat. We just had a retreat in October in Tulum. It was like literally like 5 days of bliss, right? We're just moving together, sweating together, processing together, laughing, hugging, crying, being vulnerable. And through all that, by taking care of all those layers, right? Here we are moving our physical bodies. We're resting. We're recharging our energetic body. We're processing. We're talk therapy, journaling, mental, emotional body. We're connecting with our spirit, breathing, doing yoga, meditation. And then boom, connected to the bliss body. And we're just like, we're all like, oh my God, we saw God, you know, because we're amazing. Just like the heart opening, right? You're like, oh my gosh, like this is what love feels like. This is what play feels like. This is what joy feels like. And so many of us, because we don't get to connect to that, that also revert back, works back again, right? Where if you don't connect to that for months, years on end, yeah, you're probably going to end up, you know, manifesting illness, mental illness.
Yeah.
Health issues, and then eventually more breakdowns, right? Right. All those mystery illnesses, all things are all a manifestation of not taking care of ourselves at all of those layers.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. So I have to get practical for a second because I want to go back in time and go to Tulum with you. That sounds amazing. But many people are home. Many people are working from home. They feel less connected than they have, you know, more disconnected, I should say, than they have from people in a long time. Mm-hmm. How can one who's listening right now get into her bliss body given the circumstances of the world?
Yeah. There's a lot of small, practical, everyday ways to get connected to that, which obviously I talk about in my book. I consider my book kind of like a human operating manual.
Right.
Here are all the ways you can take care of each layer of the body. And,
by the way, if you haven't paused yet and then to go get the book from the show notes, then the link of the show notes, and then come back, then, you know, what are you doing? But anyway, do that now.
So inside the book, you know, I obviously talk about, you know, what the bliss layer is, which we just talked about in many ways. And then all these practical ways you can do that. So of course, I talked about it on this macro level of like, you find your people, your community, you go to paradise, you spend 5 days immersing in all these things. Okay, great. That sounds great, Lil. Like that, you know, but like, let's bring it down to every day. You know, like I'm working, I'm trying to juggle kids. I'm over here pureeing baby food. Like, you know, like I sounds great, Lil, you know, you clearly don't have kids. So,
well, thankfully, most of the women who listen are over 40 and past the baby puree. There's a few, there's still a few. So shout out to you, but many of them still, I think they're teachers who feel stuck, you know, parents of grown kids who are now coming back because of COVID.
Totally.
Like there's just so much pressure or career changes, transitions all over the place. And so imagine her and like, let's help her specifically find her bliss.
Yeah. Make time for it. First things first. Like you actually have to schedule it in. You know, I think just like anything else, you know, you learn, right, as you journey into adulting, right? You realize that you actually have to schedule everything, right? You actually have to like schedule meal prep. You have to schedule working out. You even have to schedule sex with your partner. Like you have to schedule everything, right?
Sometimes,
And in the same way, you even have to schedule bliss. Mm. And so at the most practical level, you actually got to purposely make time for that. And so to say, you know what? I have not had fun all week long. And I've said this to my clients one day before a session. I was like, hey, fun fact, we actually need to tap into bliss every day.
Really?
Every day, right? In the same way that we want to take care of our physical body every day, right? You want to take care of your energy every day. You don't stop taking care of your physical body ever, right?
Right.
Like, you don't just wake up one day and be like, no, I don't think I'm going to drink water today. I don't need to take care of my physical body.
Right.
Like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to worry about my spiritual body today. I'm just going to ignore my intuition all day long. Like, just not going to do it.
Right.
So in the same way, bliss is the same way, right? And so bliss is literally a moment of laughter, a moment of being present, a moment of just connecting with yourself and not getting all distracted and caught up. Mm. And so schedule it. You can schedule it by taking 5 minutes out of your day on purpose to sit in silence and really breathe in gratitude and really feel like, man, I am so grateful for X, Y, and Z things. And you can do that even if you are going through a crap time, right? Like you just lost a family member, your kids are out of control, you know, like you are stressed out at work, your husband just got laid off. You can still access that. right? Mm. And so you can do things like that. You can literally sit down and on purpose connect. What do I really have to be grateful for now? What am I so grateful for that I have this outlet of joy in my life? I'm so grateful that my kid smiled at me this morning and told me that they love me. I'm so grateful, you know, even though my husband lost his job, I'm so grateful that we have a killer severance package. Mm. And we're going to figure this because we are supported and loved by our community. And so we can connect to that even in those little practices. And then there's also other things, right? Like you connect bliss by playing, literally playing, right? I don't know what playing is for people. Like for some people, it's literally just playing with their dog and spending 5 minutes of bliss time, which is really like playing and wrestling with their dog. Or maybe it's working on a puzzle. Maybe it's coloring in a coloring book. Maybe you're an arts and crafts person. Maybe you spend an hour, you know, on a weekend, like just like painting or doing something that you used to do when you were a kid. I know that kind of sounds cliche. I'm not even trying to make this about inner child work, but like, you know, what are some things that you love to do? Like when's the last time you remembered you felt really just happy, right? Connect with your friend. Like when's the last time you called your best friend that you know always cracks you up as long as you get together, but you just forget. I mean, like I have a best friend in Chicago. After with COVID and everything, and she's got two little kids, we didn't talk for like a year. I don't know how it happened, but like, this is how I know we're like really best friends. Because I was like, did we like not talk for a year? And she's like, yeah, dude, it's fine, whatever, like life. Like you wrote like two books, and like I got two kids, like it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we met, you know, for lunch while I was home for Christmas in Chicago this winter, and it was like we just picked right back up. We cackled for an hour, and then I went home, and that was it. And we were both like, oh man, like I feel like I could go another year without ever talking to you again, you know, right. Because it was such a potent, strong, amazing dose of bliss. And yeah. Fun.
And that's so awesome. So
there's so many ways you can connect to that. That doesn't have to be like this, you know, spiritual, I saw God in Tulum experience.
right. Until we can. And then I will.
Yeah.
But you know, even just, I know sometimes I'll put memes in our group of like song lyrics or things that, you know, from the 80s and 70s or whatever. And even that, like sometimes I'll put on an artist I used to love that like maybe I would never listen to now. Yeah. And just like, you know, rock out in my kitchen. Now I have to stop doing dishes while I do listen to that music because that is not bliss. but even just taking 5 minutes and like dancing like a dummy, you know,
100% like dance parties, that's in the book too. Like dance, yeah. Put on like a dance break, like literally get up. You know, we're all at our desk. A lot of us are working from home. You know, like you work for an hour, you start to feel your brain langling. It's like, okay, just put like make a playlist on purpose for that. Put on a song and just like take it out. 5 minutes, get that hit of endorphins, hit your bliss center, come back. It'll make such a difference. You do that every single day over the course of a year, and that will transform you. You know, truly.
Absolutely. I was talking to a friend the other day who lives in Vermont, and she went out in the morning to walk her dog, and she was, you know, we're on Voxer. I don't know if you use that walkie-talkie app. And and she sends a message and she's like, oh my gosh, the sunrise in Vermont with the snow and the dog. Oh, like you could feel the bliss coming from her in this very ordinary moment. So it's really not always seeking out, right? But sometimes even acknowledging when it's right there in front of you.
Absolutely. And that's an example that I give in my book. It's like, you're just driving and then you just notice breathtaking sunset. And you're just like, you just get like, it's like literally like a second long and you just have a moment where you're like, I just saw God. And I keep saying that, you know, it's like, I don't even use like God language that often, but since we're already there, you know, I'm just going to roll with it. You know, it's like it's that moment. It's like, you know, it's like, oh my God, it's like, that is a moment of bliss that doesn't again have to be this like week long, like retreat experience. It can just be in those moments where you're like, whoa, I felt that. It's like, oh
yeah,
you know, and like living in California, especially, you know, for me, like it's beautiful in San Francisco. You know, there's so many moments where I just walk outside and I just go, oh, I live here. I love, I live here. I am just amazing. So grateful to be surrounded by this beauty. And that's my moment of bliss. And we can find that everywhere, even if you don't live, you know, at the edge of the Golden Gate Bridge, right? Even like just go outside and just like breathe in the smell of fresh cut grass. Like I don't really smell, I don't have that here living in California anymore. That was like a Midwest thing for me, right? Like growing up in the sun, you know, you in the summer or in the spring, that I can smell it right now. I haven't smelled it in years, but I still smell it. It's like, oh, like that smell of spring. It's like nostalgia. And it's just that moment. Like we can access that all the time. Yes. And not only do you have to schedule it in, but you also have to allow yourself to see it.
Yes.
It's in front of us all the time. Yeah. I think, and that's a nod to like, you know, it's all about like perception. Like, how do you want to see the world? Right. You can, two people can look at the exact same world. And one can see nothing but pain and suffering, which is very real.
Yes.
And the other person can see that pain and suffering, but also see the beauty and the love and the light and the healing that's happening within that same context.
Right.
And I think when you are able to be that second person, that is someone who is not only healthy in their wisdom, spiritual body, but also has a good relationship with the center because they're able to tap into that, you know, no matter what. And so I don't think to be connected to your bliss center doesn't mean that you're always happy or that you're always positive. Like that's impossible. That's not realistic. But I think it means that you know how to access that. You know that that's always there for you and you allow yourself to engage with that on a regular basis because you understand that it's key to your well-being.
Absolutely. And if you look back at some of, at least I can speak for myself and some of the most difficult moments that I've gone through, some of the deepest connections were created. Mm-hmm. Or some of the most important moments happened.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we're focused on, you know, and it does sound a little cliche of like the beauty in that moment, you know, in that darkness, like that's, to me, that's where true growth comes from.
Absolutely.
When you can look back or, you know, when you, especially when you're in it, I mean, how grown ass is that to be going through something so hard and to know that there are lessons in this and that I'm going to be okay on the other side of it.
Yeah.
I think that's what, at least for the women who listen to this podcast, who are now at a certain stage of their lives, we've been through a lot of things that we know nothing so far has killed us, right?
Right.
And so that's where resilience is born. That's where growth is born. And so just the knowledge that this is really hard, it's overwhelming, but I know I'm going to be okay on the other side, I think is so key.
Totally. And something that I've been really trying to teach my clients too is like, I know you can't feel that right now, but I do want you to have like some kind of excitement or have some kind of inspiration knowing that this is all part of your story. Like this, you are writing your story right now. You're in it right now. So you don't have that hindsight, but like you are literally like living your story right now. You know, a year 100%. From now, this is going to be part of like your epic tale. So
exactly. Sometimes I say that to one of my sons when he goes through certain things, I'm like, you're just going to use this one on stage. Cause he's like, you know, a motivational speaker in the works at 14. Yeah, like,
I love just, that.
You know, and exactly. So he'll go through something. I'm like, yeah, you'll be telling this story, you know, and he knows it. He's like, as frustrated as he may be, he's like, yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. I love that. Future motivational speaker at 14. That's so great.
That's you know, those so people, awesome. You just meet them and you're like, oh, yeah, you're going to be doing some things.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh. So if somebody pressed play and they happen to be at the end of this podcast, what would you want them to know?
What I would want them to know is that you are where success comes from, whatever it is, whatever success it is that you want, whether it's you want to feel or be successful in your career, parenting, business, relationships, marriage, whatever it is that you want to be successful in, that success comes from you. And so when you are at your optimal, happiest, healthiest state, when you are the best version of yourself, that is when the best outcomes are inevitable, is guaranteed. It's just going to be a side effect, actually, as a matter of fact. And that to me is the shortcut that we all need to really understand, is that you are where all of that goodness comes from. So take care of you first, take care of your five layers, make sure that you are developing yourself first and foremost, and the rest will naturally organize around you and mirror that and reflect that.
That's gold right there. If they heard nothing else, but there's so much gold in this episode. So thank you so much, Lillian. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jackie. You're amazing. You're so good at this. Oh my gosh.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me.
Your energy is amazing. you hold the space so well. I never say things like this. I'm like, you're just like such a goddess.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. You just made my day.
Before we go, it would be huge if you would share this episode and any episode really of the Grown Ass Woman's Guide that resonates with you. We often talk about how we can spend money to support grown-ass woman-owned businesses, but supporting them with a share, a comment, a rating or review, some words of encouragement, it can go such a long way in helping that woman keep moving forward. You have a stronger voice than you even realize. What would it be like if we were all committed to using our voices and reach to lift each other up? And if I can support you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at hello@grownasswoman.guide. Until next time, you are a grown-ass woman. Act accordingly.